Beloved, we go now to the Word of the Lord to hear our God speak to us. And we will be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 48, verses 21 to the end of the chapter. Matthew 5, verses 21 to 48. As we continue looking at the sermon that Jesus preached on the Mount. Hear now the word of the Lord. You have heard that the ancients were told, "You shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right hand makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was said, 'Whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of unchastity, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord.' But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be, 'Yes, yes,' or 'No, no.' Anything beyond these is of evil. You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And that is the word of the Lord. So Jesus, again, as we heard last Lord's Day, having come to fulfill the law and the prophets, not to abolish them, he tells them that what the Lord requires is a righteousness, verse 20, a righteousness that surpasses the so-called righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And beloved, that's what we see here is that is called perfect righteousness. The only way we can have perfect righteousness, that's what the Lord demands, is through justification by faith alone in Christ alone. Christ's perfect righteousness for you is His perfect righteous life. And now Jesus in that, with that as the background of the passage that we look at today, Jesus describes that righteousness. What is the perfect righteousness that is required by the Lord? By Him. And He speaks about personal relationships, and so He speaks of the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Verse 27, the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Verse 33, the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness. And then really looking, verse 43 to the end, the second greatest commandment, the second table of the law, the second table of commandments, the fifth through the tenth commandments, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Again, here we're shown the Ten Commandments are a summary of what God requires. They are the general rule, the general principles, the general commandments, and they apply much more widely than the very bare wording of the Ten Commandments themselves, as it is throughout Scripture applied in many varying ways. We see throughout Scripture even, it seems, ignored at this time by the Jews and limited by them, so that they could appear externally to keep them. And that was the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. They limited the word, the commands of God, to a set list of things where they could appear to keep them. But we're taught that here, one who commits unrighteous anger is guilty before the Lord of committing murder. The root of murder is anger. We might even go further than that. The root of that is pride, which is the root of all sin. Where are we committing unrighteous anger? Where in our lives do we do that? Jesus tells us that is murder. And then adultery. Everyone who looks at a woman surely goes the other way for women looking at men. Even attraction. Those who are not your spouse, that is adultery. Looking at one with lust, attraction to them. Adultery of the heart. So we had murder of the heart, anger. We have adultery of the heart, lust. Then the seventh commandment also, it talks about, Jesus goes on, talks about divorce and marriage, marriage and divorce. Malachi, we know, says that the Lord hates divorce. Though we see here, because of their hardness of heart, Jesus will go into that later in this book, actually, in the Gospel. And He'll say, because of their hardness of heart, He gives allowance when one's spouse commits adultery, who is unchaste. But divorcing one's wife for no good reason is a committing adultery. It's a breaking of the seventh commandment. And it's also forcing that spouse to commit adultery as well. The ninth commandment, truth-telling, be honest and clear. We should not easily make vows or oaths, but let our word be honest and straightforward. Our yes be yes and our no be no. We shouldn't have to swear, that's what he's saying here, we shouldn't have to swear on anything of this creation to prove that our yes means yes and our no means no. It should mean yes and it should mean no. And what we vow or say we promise to do, we should keep that. Otherwise we are breaking the ninth commandment. Beloved, as well, when those attack you, it says here, we are to preserve ourselves. We are to protect ourselves, but we are to not do so with evil intent, even attempting to seek vengeance. Let us never seek vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We should not render evil for evil or hold a grudge, but we must seek to have a forgiving spirit and heart. And finally, beloved, let us love our neighbors that Jesus talks about. Not only loving those who love you, that's pretty easy to love those who love you, but loving those who hate you and are your enemies, who even persecute you. And so he says later, pray for your enemies. So having gone through some of the Ten Commandments of God, some of the commandments of God, the Lord again reminds them of what is required of them. What is required of you? It is perfection. He says, therefore you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And we respond to that, then there is no hope for us. But He gives us the hope in Himself, in Jesus Christ, And that is why we need the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is perfect for us. He is our righteousness for us. And so we must turn to Him. Even as Christians and sin, when we continue in our sin, we must turn to Jesus and plead Him before the Father. Let's pray to Him now. Our Father, we have sinned in many and great ways. Even as Your people, we have turned from You, just as Israel turned from You as Your people. And we have broken Your commandments. We often like to change the commandments and limit them in some way to make them easier for us. But they are, in and of ourselves, easy. They are far from easy. But we know apart from You, we can do nothing. And so, Father, we plead the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ for us. That imputed righteousness that You've granted to us through Him by justification and by faith alone. And Father, we continue believing that gospel. Father, we have in our hearts murdered, committed adultery. We've broken vows and broken promises. We've lied. And Father, we have not sought to pray for our enemies. We've sought to seek vengeance and hold grudges and be bitter towards others. And Father, forgive us of these sins. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. For even You say, upon these things the law and the prophets hang. And so, Father, we ask that You would bless us, Your people, that You would forgive us of our sins. We come confessing our sins today, but it means nothing if we do not turn from them. And so, Father, by Your Spirit, we ask that You would enable us to turn from them. That You would grant true repentance. That we would be sorrowful and grieve over our sins and turn from them unto You, the living and true God. The God who receives us in Your Son. And Your Son alone. For He is our propitiation, He is our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous one. And we see that You demand of us perfection. And we fall far short. But in Christ we are perfect in Your sight. And You are making us perfect now through sanctifying us. Father, we ask that You would complete that good work that You began in us. And You would do so by Your Son and by Your Spirit. Father, may we, as we look at others and we see sin in them as well, may we say we would be reminded that we are just like them in many ways. Maybe we have not sinned in that particular way that they are sinning in that current time. But Father, we sin in many ways. And just as we need Jesus, so they need Jesus. And so let us encourage them in turning to Your Son and our Savior. And Father, we pray now that You would cause us to love our neighbors. Not love only our brothers and sisters in Christ, but love our neighbors, all those around us, and that we come in contact with. And we pray often for even our enemies, Your enemies, who are far from You and in darkness, that they would be saved, that You would draw them to Yourself and change their hearts. May we even be used as instruments to bring that Word which accompanies Your Spirit and that salvation process. Father, be with us now as we continue worshiping You, as we are tempted to be distracted, tempted towards sin, even in this time. Father, we ask that You would keep us from that. by your Holy Spirit. Protect us and preserve our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.